Arlington Santa Fe versus Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers. Mr. Monroe.
Good morning. My name is Donald Monroe. I represent the appellants in this case, who are the five major freight railroads in the United States. The issue in this appeal is the legal standard for dissolving an injunction that is issued against strikes pursuant to the Railway Labor Act. The order under review is the court's September 15, 2003 decision in which it dissolved an injunction that had been issued against the Appellee Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers, rising out of threats of strikes involving remote control technology and the dispute over the assignment of that technology to employees of the railroads. The relief that's requested is that this court reverse and remand with instructions to enter a permanent injunction. I have two points that I'd like to emphasize out of the arguments that are raised in the briefs. The first is that the district court failed to apply the proper change circumstances test and did so as a result of a fundamental misconception of the purpose of a Railway Labor Act injunction. And my second point will go to why this matters, why it makes any difference that the original injunction is reinstated as opposed to...
Well, that seems to be the heart of the case, isn't it? I mean, the injunction was in place for a year. It's dissolved. If there are future problems, your courthouse is open.
Yes, Your Honor. That the district court seemed to believe that because it invited the railroads to come back if there were future problems. And let me explain. I was going to save that for my second point, but let me address that first. We're talking about very high stakes here, not just for the railroads, but for the public, too. Strikes are, as this court has itself observed on a number of occasions, extremely disruptive, not just to the railroads, but to the public as well. You're talking about the ability to shut down an essential part of the nation's transportation system. And that injures not just the carriers, but shippers and everybody else who relies on the railroads, both commuters and others. Now, the unions know that strikes are extremely disruptive, but they also know that the courts will routinely enjoin strikes under the Railway Labor Act. And so what they do is they attempt to get a strike up and running before a court has an opportunity to enjoin it. And so this union, like many others, will engage in a practice of surprise strikes in an effort to inflict damage on the railroads before they're able to get an injunction. The problem with that, Your Honor, is that there's no remedy for that damage that is inflicted on the railroads before we're able to get a TRO. Under current circuit law, which we, of course, don't agree with,
How long would you keep an injunction like this in place? Obviously the union's not happy with the result, so how long do they have to live under this injunction?
The standard practice, Your Honor, is for a permanent injunction of this kind to persist indefinitely. It doesn't really make any difference as a practical matter, because ordinarily what will happen is, after the arbitration, the underlying dispute will be resolved and will go away. It will die down. There won't be any more fighting about it. That's not the case here. It's never been the practice of the railroads and the unions to come back into court and seek the dissolution of a permanent injunction that's been issued in a case like this, because there's no need to. If the injunction prohibits the union from striking and the union no longer has any interest in striking, then there's no need to take that up. It never becomes an issue. But what's happened here with the dissolution of this injunction is both this industry, the rail industry, and the nation are now exposed to strikes arising out of what is probably the most divisive labor issue in the last 50 years. You're talking about something that this union has fought tooth and nail about in every possible way, and now it's telling you that not only will it not give assurances that there will not be strikes in the future, but it wants the injunction lifted too. And if it doesn't have a desire to strike about this in the future, then why fight to get rid of the injunction? It clearly wants the ability to threaten illegal action over this issue in the future, as it has done since the injunction has been in place, and the strike threats that have been issued while the injunction was in place are in the record. And the bottom line is that this is a minor dispute. It's now established that strikes over this would be illegal, and in those circumstances, the railroads are entitled to a permanent injunction. Where the district court went wrong was in concluding that the only reason for an injunction of this kind under the Railway Labor Act is to preserve the jurisdiction of the arbitrator. And that is legal error. The standard test for dissolving an injunction, as described by this court in the City of Chicago case, is one of changed circumstances. And as City of Chicago explained, the changed circumstance test involved consideration of several different factors, including whether a risk of illegal conduct persists, whether there's any hardship to the enjoined party, and whether the purpose of the litigation has been fully achieved. The district court looked only at the status of the arbitration because it believed that that was the purpose of RLA litigation. It did not look at hardship to the BLE. It did not, and this is the most significant point, look at whether there was any risk of continuing danger to the railroads. That, I submit, is a mistake about the purposes of RLA injunctions. RLA injunctions are not primarily about preserving arbitral jurisdiction. That was the original reason that the Supreme Court gave in the Chicago River case, but it is now crystal clear that strike injunctions serve a broader purpose, and that purpose is the purpose reflected in Section 151A of the Railway Labor Act, to prevent interruptions of commerce into the operation of carriers. In other words, strike injunctions may persist even after the arbitration is over, even after the underlying dispute has been resolved, because the courts have found the Railway Labor Act is about preventing interruptions to commerce. I see that I'm into my
rebuttal time. What would the time gap be between going back to court to get a TRO if there was a strike in the decision remains in place, so there's no permanent injunction? What's the time lapse between going into court to get a TRO to stop strike or going into contempt proceedings if the preliminary if the permanent injunction remained in force forever?
The time frame is similar. It's a little bit faster to get in for contempt proceedings. I've been able to get in front of the district court here or in Washington, D.C. in as little as 5 or 6 hours. But in that amount of time, you can have enormous disruptions to the transportation system. And there's another critical
distinction. Should there be a different rule because here we're dealing with the disruption to the national economy as opposed to some other union dispute that doesn't involve these large ramifications?
No, Your Honor. I think that all RLA injunctions incorporate this concept that they're about protecting not just the railroads but the public as well. The difference between the two scenarios that you posit, the filing the new injunctive action and seeking contempt, is that if the injunction is in place and the union is facing contempt, then we do have a remedy. There's some ability there for the union to suffer consequences as a result of its actions in shutting down the railroads. If we have to file a new action and if they're able to strike before that TRO is granted, we have no remedy. There's no opportunity for us to do anything to punish them, and they're well aware of that window of opportunity, and they've used it in the past.
What does the injunction do to the speech of the union? Their speech rights, their ability to speak to the continuing issue, injunction or not?
It has no effect whatsoever on that, Your Honor, and the reason for that is the original injunction that was entered by the court, as well as any permanent injunction, which would reflect the same term, does not prohibit picketing that is purely informational in nature. It doesn't prohibit legislative campaigns. It doesn't prohibit regulatory campaigns. What it prohibits is illegal actions, illegal economic force, and that's all.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Monroe.
Thank you.
Ms. Polly?
Good morning, and may it please the court. In this case, Judge Gottschall properly recognized that Congress in the North LaGuardia Act intended judges to play as limited a role as possible in labor disputes and acted accordingly.
Do you agree with Mr. Monroe's comment that this robotic issue is the most contentious in the union labor relations in the last 50 years?
We don't, Your Honor. But I would add to that that even beyond that, contentiousness alone is not a basis for continuing an injunction. The issue that was brought before Judge Gottschall originally, and the complaint she had before her, was a dispute over the assignment of remote control to particular individuals, non-engineers. And the question was, carrier said, this is a matter of contractual interpretation, therefore a minor dispute under the RLA. The union at that time said, no, these are unilateral changes in terms and conditions. This is a major dispute. That was the issue before Judge Gottschall. She thereupon issued an injunction. And again, I believe that Judge Gottschall knows what the intent of her injunction was. She issued an injunction to permit the board to take jurisdiction over the case. The board did so. It issued a decision. That decision answered completely the question that had been before the court. The board ruled that the carriers are allowed to do this by their contract, and the union has never challenged that. And once that award was issued, Judge Gottschall determined that the issue that had been before her, the actual dispute before her, was gone, and with it, the basis for the preliminary injunction. And I think there's something very important here. I think the carriers misrepresent the basis for Judge Gottschall's decision. It is not that she believed that the only basis for a preliminary injunction under the RLA is to permit an arbitration board to take jurisdiction. Now, clearly, under the RLA and its the necessity to accommodate it to the North LaGuardia Act limitations, injunctions are very limited. In this case, what she stated was that the reason she had chosen to issue the preliminary injunction was to maintain the status quo until an arbitrator could resolve the dispute. She decided, based on what was before her, that that was what was necessary. Then, when the parties came back to her, and keep in mind that she had before her, when the parties came back to her, all of the evidence that the carriers also have submitted to you, she made a determination that the issue that had been before her and for which she had issued a preliminary injunction, that issue being, could the carriers do this under the contract? Was this a minor or major dispute? Had been resolved. Once that was resolved, there was no need any longer for the preliminary injunction. Now, following up on Judge Schwamm's question about the First Amendment, as you may well have noticed, the complaint that the carrier makes in its support of its assertion that this is a contentious issue are, in fact, actions that are A, outside the scope of the complaint that was before the judge, and B, are completely legal. They are, in fact, lobbying for state laws to limit remote control. They are informational picketing. They're bargaining to change the existing language in the existing agreement, which is exactly what this court has said a union that loses out in an arbitration is supposed to do. We're doing what we're supposed to do. How can that be a basis for continuing an injunction? At this point, the union is not questioning whether this is a minor dispute. They are not questioning the award issued by the board. What they are doing is questioning, is remote control advisable? Is it safe? Is it in the public interest? These are not what brought the carrier to court. This is not the issue that was before the court. This is not the basis for her injunction. And accordingly, she correctly found the dispute before her gone and the basis for the preliminary injunction gone.
But isn't that the policy concern that the union has underlying what you described to be the limited issue? I mean, why the robotic issue is just the fountainhead is it not of the base of all the concerns that you say still remain to be addressed in other forums.
It may or may not be, but that does not mean that a union is not permitted to express its dissatisfaction in completely legal ways. There is no suggestion here, as I have said. This is not a situation where the union has indicated to hell with the board's decision, we're striking. That is not here, and there's no suggestion of that in the evidence. What this is a union has said, okay, a decision has been made. We thought this was unilateral change. It isn't. We are now going to go about other ways of expressing our opinion that remote control is not a good idea. And that includes, do we think there are safety concerns? We do. We are entitled to believe that. Not only are we entitled to, the Federal Railway Administration has expressly requested that if engineers have concerns about remote control.
Well, how does the injunction chill that?
Well,
your opportunity to carry out those concerns.
The issue here is the preliminary injunction did not. But what the carriers did when they came in opposition to dissolving it and in essence saying make it permanent, and when you make it permanent, this is why you need to make it permanent, because they're doing all these things. Well, doing all those things is not illegal. It is not a basis, frankly, if they came in...
Well, an injunction wouldn't cover it, would it?
But it's not a basis for extending the injunction. The problem here, I think, for the carriers is the district court knew why she'd issued her preliminary injunction. She knew that the basis for that injunction was over. They are, in essence, coming in and asking for a new injunction. And they're asking for a new injunction based on actions that don't justify injunctive relief. For that reason, we contend that this court should affirm Judge Gottschall's decision. She issued her preliminary injunction based on the dispute before her. She did so to ensure that the arbitral board could go forward. It has gone forward. Her decision that the dispute before her, and this is important, she made a determination that that dispute was over. That decision is not clearly erroneous. I'm sorry, Judge Fleming.
I'm just trying to think beyond the case. Would it be your position that a slightly different factual modification of the robotic issue, let's say in the context of a greater number of people affected rather than a lesser number, whatever the number were in this case, would be an entirely different case?
Well, I'm not sure. Well, I think my answer to that is if you look at the award, and it is in the record, it's a fairly extensive award. It's 40-something pages. It goes into a lot of detail. The question before the board, and I may actually give me one moment. Okay. As expressed by the carriers, since they won, we'll go with their question. As expressed by the carriers, the question before this arbitral board was, the carriers have implemented remote control locomotive technology, which eliminates any need for onboard locomotive engineer in connection with work assignments that involve the gathering and distribution of freight and/or equipment in and around terminals. Under the collective bargaining agreements with the BLE and the UTU at issue in this case, may the carriers assign use of remote control technology to the UTU employees, thereby eliminating the locomotive engineer position? That is the question that was answered by the board. It is our contention that that was the question that was before the district court. That question has been answered, and I think fairly extensively.
Sure. Well, if there were a permanent injunction had remained in that in this case, it would not limit strike potential, I guess, in in a different setting.
In a
that dealt with the broad issue of robotics.
A permanent injunction that issued in regard to a particular decision, I would agree with you. That's what it relates to.
Right. So I guess then I'm trying to get the harm that attends. You're being faced with a permanent injunction growing out of the limited facts and issue at stake here.
If I may, I think the harm goes to the fact that, and I think perhaps Judge Evans' question sort of got to that. The fact is, injunctive relief is something that is supposed to be limited, especially in labor context. And
not continued longer than necessary.
And there is a real, in this case, the district court judge who had the facts before her concluded that it wasn't necessary. And I do think it is a harm to a union to live forever under an injunction that is not necessary. If it's not necessary, why have it? I mean, it's interesting.
There's an implicit chill in your mind that if these kinds of situations, the minor major situations which come out, however, result in permanent injunctions, that it just labor relations generally are not advanced.
Especially in the context like this, where the district court judge made a determination that the reason she had for issuing the injunction had lapsed, and
this
the injunction
good
no
for this ride only, huh?
In essence, yes. So, again, given that, we believe that Judge Gottschall's decision to dissolve the preliminary injunction and dismiss the case should be affirmed.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Mr. Monroe?
You got 1 minute.
I respectfully disagree with counsel that Judge Gottschall did find that the dispute was over. All that she found was that the arbitration was over. That is a completely different thing. And it is not the case that the arbitration has resolved this dispute. The evidence is uncontested that the dispute over remote control continues, notwithstanding the remote control award.
Well, won't that be an industry issue for years to go
until you get what you want?
It will continue, and that's precisely why we need the injunction. The injunction covered disputes arising out of the railroad's use of remote control or plans to use remote control. All that the arbitration decided was that it is not a violation of the collective bargaining agreements. There are still a variety of issues associated with the use of remote control that will be covered by the injunction. And this is precisely the same scenario that this court faced in the
standard. Do you think all those issues were aired in this, in all the potential collateral issues connected to robotics, Mr. Rowe, were aired in the setting before Judge Gottschall?
I believe that the issue before Judge Gottschall was whether, broadly speaking, disputes over remote control were minor disputes, and she found that they were. There's a distinction, I think, and this is the critical problem, between the conclusion of the arbitration and the conclusion of the dispute.
This will probably display my lack of familiarity with the industry beyond at one time owning Lionel trains, but suppose we have a situation someday down the road where we're going to eliminate all humans on a train. Robotics reach the point, that would be what could possibly be presented. Now, this may be so futuristic that, or wouldn't then. Would this permanent injunction speak to that issue? Could you strike over that?
I think that is essentially the issue that was presented to Judge Gottschall.
This would be forever today, not an issue subject to potential strike.
What the injunction covers is the use of remote control by the carriers in terminal operations in and around terminals. And so we've still got a problem about defining what
terminals. Well, but in and around terminals, doesn't that speak to any personnel ever on any piece of railroad equipment? At some point, doesn't all rolling stock reach some terminal somewhere?
It does, but what the injunction means, Your Honor, is that we can only use it in and around terminals. We can't use it out on the main line if we're talking about going from, say, Los Angeles to Chicago.
You would never argue, then, that it spoke to another geographic base other than a terminal.
I'm sorry. It applies to in and around terminals. I think that it's fuzzy.
What's the what's the around? You know, it's like Source City in drug cases. Do the suburbs include get involved in a Source City? I you can see my unease, but
This is the problem. I mean, the geographic scope of the injunction is in and around. What that means has not yet been tested.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rose. Thank you, Bobby. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will proceed.